Well, good evening. We're going to start the service off tonight. Let's stand with our hymn books and turn to page 246. Higher Ground. We'll sing the first, second, and last. I'm pressing on the upward way. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. On the fourth, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother John. It's good to see you this evening. Trust you had a restful afternoon. I did want to report that Sherry Stowe got home from the hospital a little while ago and is resting. Brother talked to Brother Arnold on my way into church, and so they didn't anything really show up on any of the tests they ran. But so just please pray for her as they sort all that out. But she is home and resting, so we're thankful for that. Well, it's good to be back tonight. Good to see all of you. We should have a very interesting evening, and we're going to have Brother Martin share, and then the Martins are going to sing, and then we're going to have Brother Martin preach for us. And it's all three different groups, so that'll be interesting. All right, it's great. Let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other.
Amen. If you would return back to your seats and turn to 395.
When we sing In My Heart, there rings a melody, really ring out on that word, okay? On the first.
I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. Rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
Let's sing the last.
'Twill be my endless theme in glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony. When the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
Good singing. 324, if you would. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Good singing. You may be seated.
Well, amen. A few announcements. We can have the men come and get ready for our offering. Do we? Here we are. And while they're getting ready, be mindful, starting tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Monday through Friday, will be the TTU class on the epistles to Timothy and Titus. So please be mindful of that. And as I said this morning, if you're you don't think you're ready for college, well, are you ready to learn anything? Now, see, R smiling. He's ready to learn something. Again, you don't have to take it for college credit, but if you'd like to learn more about those letters from the Apostle Paul to the preachers Timothy and Titus, it would be a blessing to you, I am sure. So be mindful that tomorrow through Friday, 6 through 9 p.m., and we're thankful that Miss Susie's here tonight. She had a little bit of a spell. Yeah, how do you say that? You know, she had something yesterday, made her feel poorly, and we're glad she's back this evening as well. I did want to mention, you know, you read your bulletin. Please read your bulletin. Think of the time we could save if everybody read their bulletin. You know, it's put together for your benefit, so you know what's going on. Something that's not in the bulletin. It's Friday evening, 6 p.m. Our sheepdog guys, Brother Dan Ellis and Jacob McMullen, are going to be graduating. Their class is going to be having their graduation. And the circumstances worked out. They couldn't use the original venue. And I was asked if they could use Metropolitan, so that's going to be held here Friday evening at 6 p.m. So if you're interested in witnessing that and being there to support our guys, you're welcome to attend. And as well, everything else is the same in the bulletin, so please be mindful of those things, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do this evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings to us. Thank you for all that we have in Christ and through Christ. Pray, Father, that you do for our church. We ask you to continue to do for Sherry Stowe. And we thank, Father, of Brother Matt Holder as he's traveling this evening. And Curtis Graham will be traveling in the morning. And, Father, there's others in need of this and in need of that physically and different things going on in lives and families. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we'd ask you to meet every one of those needs, please. And we sure will be quick to give you the glory and honor of it. Bless this offering, Father. Please use it for your glory. Multiply it for your ministry, both right here at Metropolitan and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Again, thank you, Lord, for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you again. Brother Bruce Martin is going to come and share some updates from this last trip to Mexico, and I'm anxious for you to see a video that he's going to share with you. Also, when he's finished, you know, and I don't know which all the Martins are going to sing for us, but Kelsey's siblings, I believe, are you going to join them, Kelsey? She is. Well, they're going to, when Bruce finishes, you all just come. And, I mean, we're always thankful that the Lord brings the Martins our way, and we get to know them because of family here on this end of the road for them. And so it's always a pleasure to have the Martins from Nebraska here as well. And so please, you pray for them as they come. And Brother Darren, you come and preach when your children finish, okay? Pray for Brother Darren.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you always for your prayers. I just got back from a two-week trip to Mexico, and it was very blessed. Provy with me for most of this trip. She came back a little bit early because for some reason my daughter was in labor, and she said, I got to get back home. I can understand that. In fact, the last 3 days that I was there, the people says, where's Provy? We knew she was around, and all of a sudden she's not here. I says, well, she's got more important things than you people. And that's true. I mean, it does happen that way. I mean, that happens once in a while. You got to admit, there are some things that are more important. The first part of our trip was in Chiapas, and we flew down all the way to Tuxtla, spent the night, then drove in a little bitty, they call them Chevys there. It's a Chevrolet, but it's a little bitty thing. Brother Carlos does not drive it, so I drove it, and Provy sat in the back. It was a five-hour trip over, and I counted them. 389 speed bumps in a four-hour trip. I think it's got that road has a record for speed bumps of any road in the world that I ever been on. I'm not joking. More than 3 speed bumps per mile. Can you imagine driving that far with that many speed bumps? You better be glad that Matt doesn't have to go through that on where he's going. Anyway, Chilon is where we're at. We spent 3 days there. 2 days working on the translation work, checking things out. Got a good advance. We worked on the whole book of 1 Corinthians on that area. They don't have to have me there for that, but what I do is I stay there and see what they're doing, see how it's going, look at the process, so to speak, and show them problems and also help them with some computer things, brought in a new version of the computer program. Just bring them up to date and help them with any major problems they're meeting. They're coming along there. Some of the translators brought in about 6 of the Old Testament books, and I noticed there were major problems with them. It's going to be a lot of work to get them fixed up, but we're moving along. So praise the Lord for that. Then on Friday, we organized a church near Chilon. That little town of Chilon now has, I think, 3 different churches in it. And the Lord's blessing there. In San Cristóbal Las Casas, we have 4 churches in that town. And that's a city, really. And the Lord's really blessing. We're having so much expansion, people don't realize all that's going on. Then Saturday, we drove back to the capital. Sunday, I was in a missions conference there. And then that finished up that one first week. The second week, the first part of the week was with medical things. We had our annual checkups, and everything came out good. And so people think, why do you go to Mexico for that? Well, it's a lot cheaper, folks. You don't realize how much cheaper it is. And the quality is just as good here, if not better. Really, it is. I don't have to go through all the paperwork. I don't have to do anything like that. I just walk in and say, this is what I want to get done. They do it for me. The equipment is just as modern. The doctor that did my colonoscopy studied here in the U.S. And so he's just as good, if not better, than a lot of the doctors here. So that's why we do that. We've got good bill of health. And then Provi flew back here on Friday, and I went to Progreso. The Church of Progreso is almost 40 years old. I can remember when I was about 10 years old going into that village for the first time. We showed a film and they sabotaged our generator. At that time, they didn't even have electricity or anything there. And they were not happy that we were there to preach the gospel. And they gave us all a lot of trouble. In fact, they almost ran us out. Well, now the church has been there for 40 years. It's been going through some trials the last 2 years. Pastor had some major problems with his family. We were there to kind of encourage them. I spent 2 days just preaching on the church, helping them out with a lot of different things. And then on Sunday morning, I preached that Sunday morning service, then they had some baptism, baptized 5 people, and then they got together and had the Lord's table as a church. And they brought in all their little missions that they have. It was a joy to hear they had a new mission. They have another church mission that they've been working with now for about 6 or 7 years. They talked to me about helping them get it organized as a church. And so they're coming along. It was a pleasure to be there. I've taken some of our young people from this church there sometimes, other churches. It's a good place to take teams and stuff like that because it's not as far away as Chiapas, and that's why we like to do that there. But it was a joy, and that's the video I want to show you in just a moment of one of those baptisms. I think that will warm your heart to see what God is doing in a lot of these places. Sometimes when you hear missionary reports and things like that, it's kind of hard to get a grasp when they give you numbers and statistics and all this kind of stuff. Well, this church, what they did was, the 3 days that they were doing all this, was kind of like a retreat for them. They went outside the village about half a mile to an avocado grove. And one of the members had a big avocado grove, and he had a swimming pool and another huge area we could meet under. And we did that for those 2 days. It was kind of like a retreat. It wasn't a camp out. It wasn't like a campground, but it's kind of like that. And they would go back to their homes, right? It was nearby to sleep and stuff, but still it was just a different change. And it was a good time. But they took advantage of the swimming pool to have baptisms. And that's what you'll be seeing there. One thing I want you to pray about, this coming Saturday, I'll be flying to Mexico. Be there in a church on Sunday. And then Monday morning, a week from tomorrow morning, May 2nd, I'll be meeting with a man there. Several other Hispanic pastors from the U.S. will be there also. This is a man that immigrated to Mexico about 25 years ago. He's a Korean. And he started a large business there, a textile business, and it has been very good for him. He's very wealthy. And what he wants to do is start a Bible publishing organization or ministry in Mexico. And we want to publish a Spanish Bible called the Fundamentalist Bible. And it's going to cost about $500,000 to do the whole project. It's not going to be to give away Bibles. It's going to be high-quality Bibles. But we're trying to see if this will work. The thing is, he's interested in helping in publishing Bibles in languages that are not normally known. So this man might be willing to give us the capital to print the Bibles in the languages that we're working on the translation work. So it's a major thing. And if it all works out, then we've always been concerned about how we're going to raise the capital, in other words, the money, to print these Bibles. Because we're looking at probably about $100,000 or more to print all the Bibles in these Indian dialects. We just don't have that money lying around. And you got to pay for it before you get it done. And so we've been praying about that now for about 3 or 4 years. The brethren in Mexico have been considering it. The churches have gotten together and have had several ideas and plans. But if this works out, then they won't have to do all that. then we'll have someone that'll be able to fund and invest in all this type of thing. So pray with me about that as it goes. So if you show the video, thanks so much.
Buenos días, hermanos, a todos. Pues estoy contento de estar aquí. Y pues agradecidos con Dios, generalmente, pues, que me hayan enseñado el camino.
Tanto difícil. Y valoramos mucho la decisión del hermano. Porque, como ustedes pueden ver, la situación es crítica, pero gracias a Dios por el valor, por el ánimo de tomar esta decisión tan importante. Por haber pedido a los hermanos ayudarme a que se pueda llevar a cabo esto. Entonces, bajo la autoridad de esta Iglesia Bautista Emmanuel y como ministro de la Palabra de Dios y por su testimonio del hermano de haber aceptado a Jesús, bautizamos a este hermano en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. En el nombre del Padre, en el nombre del Hijo y en el nombre del Espíritu Santo, bautizamos a la hermana.
En las aguas del bautismo, hoy confieso yo mi fe.
Quiero agradecer a Dios primeramente.
It's been a long journey, but I have been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. The way has been long, but I'm blessed. Each day that I live, He's more than I need. I can never describe His goodness to me. You ask how I make it day after day. There's only one thing I can say. It's been a long journey, but I have been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. The way has been long, but I'm blessed.
Now I've had my share of sunshine and rain. My days filled with laughter, my nights filled with pain. But every mile as I travel this way, the journey gets sweeter each day. It's been a long journey, but I have been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. The way has been long, but I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
So much more than I'd ever deserve.
I'm blessed.
He's been faithful and true to His word.
I'm blessed.
I've been blessed by the hand of the Lord. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's been a long journey, but I have been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. The way has been long, but I'm blessed. The way has been long, but I'm blessed. The way has been long, but I'm blessed.
All right. Well, that's we're blessed, aren't we?
Amen.
I mean, we're blessed. Salvation, just to be saved. I mean, that's a blessing, isn't it? I remember when I got saved at the age of 18, and I never heard the gospel. In fact, I lived overseas on the island of Crete. You know the island of Crete in the Bible? I lived on that island for 3 years. My dad was in the Air Force, and there's a small Air Force base there in Rakhine Air Station. And there was a family there that they were saved and they worshiped God and so forth. And she came to me, the daughter came to me one day and said that Jesus told me to give this tract to you. I laughed and scorned and mocked, and I thought, God told you? Yeah, right, whatever. And so I took it and I read it. It didn't make a lick of sense to me, and I just didn't want it. But she would tell me about Jesus, and that was the only person I ever had witness to me. And then my wife, now, when we were in high school, she invited me out to church. And I went to church, not to hear the gospel, but to sit by her, you know what I'm saying? And that old preacher, boy, he laid it out straight. And one day, 5 months into it, I realized if I died in my current condition, I'm headed to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell, so I got saved, amen? I tell you what a blessing. You know, you notice he said the Martins, and I didn't jump up there. I actually tried to sing with them once, and Brother Turner, they just mock me and ridicule me, and they laugh at me, but you know, we were reading, or not reading, but singing the song, In My Heart There Rings a Melody, and you told me back there that you can't sing either, but there's hope for us, because, you know, in verse 3, 'twill be my endless theme and glory with the angels, I, y'all not excited about this? I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony when the courts of heaven ring. One day I'll be able to sing. Amen. I see some of the rest of you nodding. Amen. Well, I look forward to it. I really do. What is this? Oh, it's that thing. I tell you, sometimes these things can be a pain. But you know, it is our pleasure to be here. And I appreciate Brother Turner in the church here to give him the opportunity to preach. He called me one day and said, you want to preach for us on Sunday night? And I said, well, if you're offering, you know, extending the invitation, absolutely, I'll do it. And so, praise the Lord. Well, here we are. Amen. And I tell you what, we love coming. And not just to see Lucas. I mean, let's get the priorities straight. We come to see Lucas, you know what I'm saying? Number one. And then David and Kelsey, and then the rest of you. So, anyhow, it's good to be here. It's good to see everyone. And it's almost like family, to be honest with you. You know, we've been here a few times now, and in fact, where do we park? And there's a visitor's parking space out there, and I was like, man, do we park here? I mean, are we a visitor? So anyhow, but and I tell you what, that video tonight, that was moving.
Amen.
That was really moving. The the dedication there of someone following the Lord and not able to physically get in the water, but is willing to do that. That was moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. Find your place there. Let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. In Hebrews, chapter number 2. And I'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" I'm going to stop reading there. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank You. We praise You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You, God, for shedding Your precious blood up on the cross at Calvary, that we could have eternal life, that we have the opportunity to gather here with like believers tonight around Your Word. And pray, Lord God, You just bless the message, Father. It'd be Your message, not mine. Pray, Lord, that You'd simply just use me as a mouthpiece and just charge us and challenge us out of Your Word, Father, to have a closer walk with You. Be with that one that might be lost, that might not know You, and haven't accepted You yet. Pray, Lord, that tonight would be the night of salvation for him before it's too late for him. Watch over, speak to us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. You know, one thing that really is alarming, and Brother David Martin and I kind of talked about it in passing about he being out on deputation right now. When you're out on deputation, Brother Bruce can vouch for this. You see some things out there, don't you? And you got to scratch your head and wonder what in the world's going on. You don't want to go into a church being judgmental and try to fix things. My pastor always told me, your job is just to preach. Let the Lord sort things out. It's not up to us to, you know, to fix things. Even though you want to get in, you want to fix things. But you see some things out there, and you know, there's a slipping away, if you will. There's a movement for the. It's not a good thing, but churches are leaving the truth. Families are leaving the truth. I mean, you can scratch your head and say, man, what happened to this family? I mean, they were serving God a year ago. What happened? They turned their back. They drifted away from the truths of the Word of God. And you know, the Bible says here, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We ought to take heed to it. We ought to focus on it and say, Lord, what is the Lord trying to tell us in the Word of God to apply it to our life that we can have a closer walk? We ought to be closer to the Lord than we were last week, today than we were last week. We ought not to let it slip. It says, lest at any time we should let them slip. And I believe tonight that we have, again, a number of churches and a number of families around our nation, actually around the world, that are letting it slip. The title of the message, if I was the title of tonight, would be, Are You Drifting? Are You Drifting? You know, two young men were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown one evening. And as they concentrated on catching fish, they were unaware that they were drifting. They didn't have the anchor down. They didn't have the trolling motor on. They just kept fishing. They were focused on fishing. Nothing wrong with that. But one moment they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become so powerful, it kept moving the boat, and they got closer and closer to that dam. Below that dam, of course, the water was hitting the rocks with such a force against those boulders, and the boat went over. The boat went over. You know, they found, a couple days later, they found these two bodies, true story too, they found them, you know, dead. They never recovered them alive. And you say, what a tragic story. You know what? The danger of drifting is not limited only to the physical realm. We as Christians in the spiritual realm, we drift. We drift. And you know, I like to just point out some things this evening about drifting that I find in the Word of God that we need to take note of. First of all, before we get into the actual points, I just want to turn to Jeremiah chapter number 23, if you will. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 23. And start reading with me in verse number 10. The Bible says here, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 10, "For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. The Bible says here there in verse number 12, wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways. There's different terminology, different verses, different words that the Bible uses, slippery ways. We can get on a slippery way and slide away, if you will, and get away from the truths of the Word of God. And so we need to be aware of that. But something I want to mention tonight about drifting, and it's a simple message. But here's one point about drifting. Drifting requires absolutely no effort. It doesn't require any effort at all. We get lazy in our Christian living, and it doesn't take any effort at all. Just stop oaring or stop tracking against the wind in a boat, and that boat will begin to drift. But the same truth for the Christian. You know, and that we're told there we must give the more earnest heed. It takes work to stay right with the Lord. Amen? It takes work to stay right. You know, and so drifting requires absolutely no effort. Another point is it's an unconscious process. It's an unconscious. It's possible to drift and not even know that you're drifting. And here's something. If you've ever been out on a boat, if you're right next to the shore and you're drifting, you can tell because you're right there. But the further out, the further away you get from the land, it's harder to tell that you're drifting. And in a spiritual sense, the further you get away from Christ, the harder it is to really tell that you're drifting. You talk to someone and you talk to them about their spiritual life and about their maybe their going to church, their presence in church, their reading and so forth. Well, I'm not all that bad. I'm doing okay. They don't see, they don't notice that they're drifting, but it is possible to drift unaware. And you know, the same is true with us Christians. We slowly drift away. It's we don't wake up overnight and say, "Man, what happened?" It's a gradual thing. It's a gradual thing. That's why I believe, and I know you believe because you're here tonight, but I believe that when the doors are open, we ought to be in the house of God. Every time the doors are open, we ought to be in the house of God. I've raised my family like that, listening to the pastor preach this morning. Oh my, I'm still learning how to be a father. I'm still learning. You know, the Lord blesses with 6 kids, amen. When we first got married, I told my wife, I want 9 kids, 9. You say, why? It's my favorite number. Man, when I played baseball, I requested number 9 on my jersey. Amen. Where's Andrew? Andrew, there he is. I played baseball. I'm with you, son. Played 9 years of Little League. Well, I grew up, but I still played Little League. No, but I played 9 years of baseball. 8 years, I think, maybe 9. But I like baseball. But I wanted 9 children. I don't know why 9. She always wanted a big family. But you know, the Lord blesses with 6 children. Amen. They are a blessing of the Lord. I mean, I wouldn't, if I had to do it all over again, I'd tell you what, I would still have children. I would still have, you people say, well, you're crazy for having all those kids. I'm like, man, I only have 6. Well, that's huge. How many kids? 6. Yeah, 3 girls, 3 boys. I always tell folks we need one more to break the tie. That's what I used to tell them. They're like, man, you're crazy. But you know, we gave it to the Lord. Lord, you bless us. You give us what you want to. And he gave us Kelsey. I remember when we first had Kelsey. Well, I can tell you some stories about her. If y'all want to know some stories about her, you just come and talk to us. She was a sassy little girl. Sassy? Oh, my. We'd get on her, and she'd look at her mom and I, and don't get embarrassed by her. You know, she's fine. But she'd look at me, she'd say, I told you many days, as a 3-year-old, we said, go clean your room, go do this. I told you many, we still, to this day, I don't even know if she got a whipping for it. We told her the other day, maybe we ought to just whip her just in case we forgot. But you know, kids are a blessing, aren't they? And, you know, and after listening to the preacher preach this morning, you know, I thought, wow, you know, how we as Christians and churches in America have drifted away from the truth and just raising kids. You know, let the school do it. Let the world do it. If we don't teach them, the devil will. You know, the devil will. And I tell you, our young generation is in some serious trouble. Our older generation, our whole nation is in a mess. You know, and brother, you talk about that P word, that politician, those politics. I like discussing. I like talking about politics. But you know what? A new politician, a new president is not going to fix America, I believe. I believe that. It's only Jesus Christ. And we need to see folks saved. Amen? And we need to see folks saved. But drifting requires no effort. Number two, it's an unconscious process. Number three, we never drift upstream or against the tide. And so faithfulness to the Lord, if you will, is like oaring upstream. It's very, very important that we stay busy, in the things of God. We have to stay busy in the things of God. I believe that we ought to be engaged in the local church. Amen? Everything that we do ought to be through the local church. We ought to come to church and we ought to want to serve through God through the church. You say, well, but the Lord hadn't called me to preach. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm not talking about being sent out as a missionary. I'm talking about just serving through the local church. Going out and knocking doors around the area, helping to clean. And there's the numerous things that you can do to serve in the local church. But we need to be active and stay busy. I'm just trying to encourage folks tonight, stay busy. Amen, stay busy. And, another thing, we went through a series here. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will. We went through a series in our church here not long ago. We looked at each word about adding to our faith. Amen, adding to our faith. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And the Bible says this in verse number 5, familiar passage. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, if you're saved tonight, how did you get saved? The baptism waters didn't save us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen? So you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so faith is important, but when you get saved, you don't get all this. This is something that we have to work at. Amen? It takes work to add to our faith. Add to our faith virtue. And the Bible says, in the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness. You know, those are the things that we have to work at. And if we stop working, if we stop oaring, if we stop doing the things that we ought to be doing for God, we'll start drifting. Even today, and I don't care if you're saved 5 years or 40 years, if you stop being active in the local church and stop adding to your faith, you will start to drift. You'll start to drift. And before you know it, you'll be away from God and you'll scratch your head and say, my, what in the world happened? You will start to drift. Faithfulness is very, very important. We must continue to add to our faith. Second Peter chapter number 3, the next chapter over, down in verse number 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Anybody in here, I don't know if anybody has or not, but anybody in here been saved 40 or 50 years? There's quite a few of them. Let me ask that generation right there. Have you got to a place where you do not need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus anymore? We will never get to that place. We will always be growing. Amen. Amen? We will always be. But we have to do those things and be faithful and read His Word and attend and be engaged in the local church and so forth to grow. And if we stop doing these things, we won't grow anymore and we will start to drift. Amen? We will start to drift. And when we start to drift, it's not a good thing. And I believe we live in a nation right now that churches are just drifting away from it. I mean, you said it best this morning. There are churches right now that are not meeting tonight. There are churches on Wednesday night, they don't meet anymore. They meet on Sunday mornings, and it's quick, and we're out. I mean, we got to hurry up and get out of here so we can beat the crowd to, I don't know, whatever place people go eat at. You know, we ought to, this is the Lord's day. I mean, this is the Lord's day. And we ought to give the Lord more than just an hour. We ought to give the Lord more than just two, maybe even 3 hours. It's the Lord's day. Lord, it's your day. Amen. And we're here. You know, we go to church up in Nebraska at 10 in the morning, and then we finish 10:50-ish, unless I'm kind of long-winded. And then we start at 11, and we end at about 12:30, 12:40, somewhere around there. We go next door, we eat, we go right back at 2 o'clock. We have an afternoon service, we end about 4. Then we stand around until about 5, and then we go home. So we're at church for a good portion of the day, but it is the Lord's day. Amen? It's the Lord's day. And I want to do the things that are required of me. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There are some things that God requires of us, and I want to be one of those men that do those things that I do not drift. Amen. I don't want to drift. I know you don't want to drift. But the moment we stop growing, you start going backwards or downward. You don't really know it until it's a little bit too late. Here's another thing about drifting. The speed downstream always increases. The speed downstream always increases. It starts gradual, but I tell you what, it just picks up speed. It picks up speed. And next thing you know, it's hard to stop. And in a spiritual sense, when you start drifting and it picks up speed and you're drawing away from God and you're drawing closer to the world and it picks speed up, it's hard to stop. It really is. And I not in a judgmental way, but I know folks that our kids were raised with that are in the world today. You know, and it just picked up, and it's like, wow, they're in the world, they're in the world. What are they doing there? What are they doing there? Temptation's everywhere, isn't it? It's not just the younger generation that goes through temptation. It's the older, the devil, and I always say it like this, he's working overtime to get us. We're crazy to think that the devil doesn't care. He wants to trip us up tonight. He wants us to start drifting. He wants us to stop church on Wednesday night, stop church on Sunday nights. Stop having devotion. Stop doing all these things. Just let it slide. Just let it slide. Next thing you know, you start to drift. That's what he wants. But I tell you, we don't need that. We need to draw closer to the Lord. Amen. The speed downstream always increases. And there's dangers that go with that. Because when a boat starts drifting, not only is it dangerous for that boat because it's headed for destruction, but it can take others with them. It could take others with them. And the sad thing about it is if right now, if I make a bad choice to stop being faithful and I start drifting, taking my family with me. I mean, it is going to affect my family. It's going to affect, if your pastor, your pastor's wife, or some other person in this church starts to drift, it'll hurt the church. Who are we to say, oh, I don't understand what's wrong with Mrs. Whoever ever or Mr. What's wrong with them? No, when they start to drift and they go into the world, and it affects the church. It really does. It affects the church, and it's dangerous to others. Parents who are drifting, they'll soon lose that golden opportunity to teach their children. You know, and there's a lot of people today, and I don't know. You can ask my children. I hope that my wife and I through the years have kept a good testimony. But I tell you, I don't want to be one way at church and another way at home. You know what I'm saying? I just this is me. This is what you get. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I work a secular job also, and I tell you what, that's interesting. That's interesting. You're around that worldly stuff, and me and this other gentleman in our church, we work there together. We work in RVs. I'm an RV technician and a recreational vehicle. In case you don't know what an RV is, but anyhow, we work on RVs together, and they bring in those $506,000 and $700,000 vehicles. And they say my refrigerator doesn't work or this doesn't work, and we start troubleshooting and we fix it. It's fun, but we work with some fellas that I don't care about the book, I don't care about the Bible, you know. And I tell you what, all that can take a toll on you if you don't have the right mindset. You know what I'm saying? It can take a toll on you. It can influence you in the wrong way and cause you to drift. You say, oh, you know what? I go to church every Sunday. Yeah, but I dare say many of us spend more time at a job than we do in church. You know, and it can affect us. So they know that I'm a preacher. And I appreciate it, but they watch their mouth. Oh, and then when they let something slip, they say, I'm sorry. You know, I appreciate that. But you know, we... It doesn't matter where we're at, we need to be doing the things that God requires us to do. And we'll get into some of this here in a minute. And this is the last point, but this is only on point number one, so don't get too excited. All right? But not only is it dangerous to others, but it ends in a shipwreck. It ends in a shipwreck. You know, people today, their family just totally falls apart, and we just don't understand what's happening. We were together, our kids got saved, we were in church, we were doing all the things that was required of us, and our family has fallen apart, and we don't know what happened. Well, I tell you, there's some drifting somewhere. Yeah. I mean, we got away from the truths of the Word of God somewhere. Drifting. I'll give you some common signs of drifting. This is not deep right here, but these are just some common signs of drifting. Number one, a diminishing desire to study God's Word. When we find it more entertaining, if you will, and I heard a preacher say it like this, we spend more time on Facebook, amen, than our face in the book. I have a Facebook account. I know many of us probably do. And we say, well, but you know, we post a lot of Scripture. Well, that's not going to cut it. We need to spend time in the Word of God. Amen. Why? Because the Word of God's quick. Yes. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It's this book that convicted me of my sin. And it's this book that's going to keep us walking that straight line. Amen. I've been accused of being too narrow-minded. Well, I mean, the book's only about that narrow. Amen. I mean, we ought to do it God's way. Pastor Turner said this morning, we're better off doing it God's way. It's the more excellent way. Amen? And, you know, the world, they have an answer for everything, it seems like. They want you to do it this, and they want you to do this. And you know, but if it doesn't line up with Scripture, don't do it. Amen. Well, you know, we're distraught, and we're going through a lot of things, and I think I'm going to go get some counseling. You know, if anybody needs any counseling, and I'm not saying in here, but if you do, that man right there is where you go, and go to your pastor. You don't go try to find a friend to give you the answer that you're looking for. Don't go to all these crazy psychologists out there and people that they don't even use the Word of God. They're going to give you some kind of worldly advice. Oh, it sounds so good, doesn't it? But there's no Scripture for it. No, we need to do it God's way. We ought to know enough Bible that if someone gives us some advice, we ought to say, that's not of God. We ought to know enough Bible to say, that's not right. Amen. We ought to know enough Bible. And we ought to hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. That's what the Bible says. And quote Scripture and learn Scripture. And if you're like me, the older you get, the harder it is. It's hard to remember Scripture. You know, I started just the beginning of this year. I read it, of course, but I'm starting to listen to it on my tablet. I put my little earbuds in. I got this thing. I spend 40 minutes a day driving one way to work. And 20 minutes to pick my friend up. So I have 40 minutes a day. I just listen to it. And let me tell you, it's a whole lot better than talk radio. I'm so sick of the politics. I really am. It's just, Tina, my stomach's feeling upset right now. We ought to change this up. Let's get back to the Bible. Amen. I'm just sick of it, aren't you? Man, let's just have the election and get it over with. And don't get me started on that. But common signs of drifting, a diminishing desire to study God's Word. Well, I don't want to study God's Word. Amen? Here's another one. Diminishing desire to be with God's people. We find it more desirable or more fun to be around folks, maybe that we work with, that we go to school with. But it's more fun to be with those than the folks in the church. And here's another thing that I've always said for years. If the world out there finds you fun to be around, then you're not being what you ought to be for God. I tell you what, the world ought not to find you fun to be around. I'm talking about folks that are anti-God, that do not like church, that don't like the Bible. When they're around you, you ought to be quoting Scripture. They ought to feel uncomfortable around you. They shouldn't want to be around you. You know, I don't have no desire. I don't have absolutely no desire to be around the partying crowd. And the partying crowd ought not to have a desire to be around us. But you hear these stories about the world, they find it fun to be around certain Christians. Really? Drifting, I think. Uh-huh. I think those folks are drifting. A diminishing desire to be with God's people. We ought to have a desire to attend church. We ought to have a desire to, I wish we were spending a little bit more time this week. I'd pop in on those classes. That sounds like a lot of fun. I've been through them, but I tell you what, I'll learn a whole lot. I tell you, I've forgotten a lot, I'm sure, but it sounds like a lot of fun. We constantly need to be learning God's Word. A diminishing desire to be with God's people. You know, thirdly, a diminishing desire just to simply share the gospel. We don't share the gospel like we used to. I tell you what, just get going again.
Amen.
Amen? Just get going again. Give somebody a gospel tract. Well, what if they get mad? So what? Let them get mad. Yeah, but I gave them one before. So what? Give them another one. Amen? Give them another one. And anybody who's door knocked, anybody who's been witnessing for any amount of time, you have stories. You have stories. I'll tell you a quick one. A friend of myself, Brother Stan Skirloff, we were walking up to a group of people. We were on Fort Polk, Louisiana, back when I was in the Army. And we weren't supposed to be knocking doors and putting tracks on the doors. Army's got goofy rules when it comes in. And our dear sister here knows, your husband being, they got goofy rules. But we couldn't put tracks on the doors there at that installation. And so we said, okay, we're not going to put them on the door. We're just going to knock on everyone and talk to folks. Well, we were walking up to the barracks there. And man, these people are partying. It's on a Thursday night. They're drinking beer, loud music and everything. And he said, what do you think? And I said, I don't know. I said, man, these guys, boy, they look rough, you know. And I said, we're liable to get cussed out here. I said, but you know what? Jesus died for them. Let's go. And so we kind of, little quick prayer upon our breath. Lord, protect us and bless us. Give us the words to say. We walked up and we had our ties on and we looked like businessmen, I guess, and whipped out the gospel tract and said, hey, guys, I'd like to give you a gospel tract. And as soon as that word gospel came out, the ones in the back, shoot, where'd they go? You know, the other ones there, I remember this guy specifically, he's drinking a beer and he's like, invitation to where? I said, the Cornerstone Baptist Church. And he hit his beer behind him. I said, you know what? I said, God still sees it.
Yeah.
I said, you're hiding it from me, but God still sees it. Come to find out, he was one of those guys that was raised in church, got away, and he just felt ashamed. You know, I said, hey, come. I can't remember if the guy ever came or not. We used to have people come all the time. And so anyhow, lady walks in the door, back door of the church one day, and I said, ma'am, it's so nice to have you. I said, how'd you find out about the church? She said, you invited me. I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I don't remember. She said, it was 4 months ago. I said, okay. I said, my memory's a month long. Actually, it's 2 weeks now. But I'm glad you're here, amen. You know, just invite folks. You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, we ought to have a desire to share the gospel. And when we don't, we're disobeying because, you know, it's a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We don't need to, and it's sad. David, you talk about crazy churches. We know a church, and I don't know if they're even still around, but they had two separate piles of tracts. They had this tract had the address of the church. This one didn't. If you find a certain crowd of people, give them this one. We don't want a certain type of people in the church. Give them a gospel tract. At least they can go to heaven. But we don't want them in church.
Oh my.
Yep. That's crazy.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you one thing right now. That church, they're not right with God.
You're right.
That is this. I don't care if you're yellow, black, white, green, purple. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. I tell you some of the most faithful church people that we found come from the trailer park down in Louisiana. A lot of people, well, you know, that's trailer trash. We don't want to go there. We'll go to the bigger homes where they have more money. That's not right. That's a church that's gotten way off track. That's a church that's drifting.
Amen.
And we've run into it. You know, there's people out there that's just crazy they're thinking. Why to preach the gospel to every creature? Amen. It doesn't matter how much money. They don't even need any money. Just come. Just come and get saved. Diminishing desire to share the gospel. I tell you, we need to have that desire increased. Amen. And then another point is an increasing thrill over the things of the world. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John, and it's a familiar passage, but 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I tell you, many times over, it's the things of the world, it draws our attention. And we spend a lot of energy and we spend a lot of time entertaining things of the world when we shouldn't be entertaining it at all. You know, the Bible, and we know the scriptures where it talks about broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And what does it say? It says, and many be there that go in thereat. But narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and there's few that find it. You know, I liken that to this. I live up in a portion of the United States, and David's been there, and Brother Bruce and Provy, you've been there. It's out in the middle of cornfields, literally. It is out in the middle of nowhere outside Omaha and Lincoln, and there are dirt roads. We have, in our county, we have 1,100 miles of dirt roads. And there are dirt roads everywhere. And those dirt roads, there's not much that goes on those. I mean, there's not much. At nighttime, it's pitch black. Nothing going on. But you know, you go into the bigger cities, and you have a stretch of road there, downtown Omaha, downtown Fort Worth, possibly. You know, there's lights flashing everywhere. There's a lot going on. You know, I look at that Broadway. Hey, it's entertaining, isn't it? It's entertaining. It draws folks. The devil takes that sin, boy, I tell you what, he pampers it. It dresses it up. It looks so entertaining. The Bible speaks of pleasures of sin for a season. Now, if you folks here do not know what a season is, y'all have two seasons. Texas does. Hot and warm, it's all you have. And don't give me this business, oh, it gets cold in the winter. No, it does not. In Nebraska gets cold. When you get down to about 44 below zero with the wind chill, come talk to me. That's the coldest we've seen it. That's cold. Regular air temperature, 27 below zero. I was out there just for a little bit and totally iced over. It's crazy. It's cold. And brother, you know what cold is. You've lived up there when it gets cold. But you know, I look at the broad way. The world has painted the picture, oh, it's so much fun. The devil is, I tell you, all these young folks that are in this church, what a blessing. What a blessing. But if you think tonight that you're not vulnerable to the attack of the devil because you're sitting in church, wrong. We're here on Sunday night, oh, the devil can't touch us the next week, wrong. In fact, because we're here, he's gonna. You know what? I want that family. I want that husband. I want that wife. I want them to drift just a little bit. Man, if I can get that dad just to fall for this worldly philosophy right here, it won't be long. The whole family's going to go with him. We're crazy to think that we can't be touched. The devil wants us. He wants to destroy us. The number of people that are getting divorced in America right now is astounding. And we say, oh, that's the world that's getting divorced, really? No, people in the church are getting divorced left and right. It's like, what's up with you? I've been married going on 29 years. I don't want to start over. It's taken me this long to train her, brother. I mean, I don't want to start over. She's nodding. I'm not in trouble. Praise God. No, I wouldn't want to start over. I mean, I stood there just like David and Kelsey stood here. Until death do you part. And you know what? When you take a vow, that's exactly what. And not you didn't take it just in front of the congregation, in front of the pastor, but you took it in front of God. Right. Amen. Right. Sickness and in health. I mean, all those different circumstances, they're going to come on us. You stay married for any amount of time, you have your ups and downs. Like we're talking to David and Kelsey. They said their first year was great. We're like, really? Ours wasn't. Man, our first, I don't know, 14 years or so, I don't know what. It was a long time. She was hard-headed, I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. No. When you get married, I tell you what, it changes everything, doesn't it, David? It really does. It changes everything. And I wasn't raised in church. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. No excuse, but the Bible tells us how to be a husband. Right, doesn't it? The Bible tells the wives how to be a wife. The Bible tells children how to be the child of God, to please the Lord. It tells you what to do. My pastor was driving down the road one day and seeing the sign out there, a big billboard, had a baby in a diaper, and it said below, if it only would come with instructions. But it does. The Bible. The Bible tells us how to raise our children. But I tell you what, again, what's alarming is the people that are drifting away from that in the church. People are drifting away from that. They're not being the husbands. They're not being the wives. And it's alarming. What's really, and it kind of alarms me is the number of people that we were called. I was called to preach back in 1996, I think it was 97, something like that, about 19 years ago or so. And the number of people that I was called to preach with, wow, there was in, and I didn't get on no bandwagon. I didn't say, well, you know what, God called them. I think I'm gonna get in it. You know, I just a genuine call of God, knew it, wanted to be. In fact, if I had my way, I'd still be in the army. I tell you what, I was gung ho, jumping out of airplanes. Who would jump out of an airplane? A couple of us. That's what I did for a living. I packed parachutes and I jumped out of airplanes. You say, why would you jump out of a perfect good aircraft? I didn't even know they had those, especially in the army. In fact, some of the aircraft you won out of. You know what I'm saying? You walk on the tailgate of a Chinook helicopter, CH-47. It is always forever dripping hydraulic fluid. They mop it up. And I said, guys, what's up with this leak? I said, I'm the jump master today, and we're going to be jumping. And he said, oh, don't be concerned. When you get on a CH-47 and there is no leak, it doesn't mean it's fixed. It means it's empty. I said, really? Is that bad? He said, they always leak. I said, wow. So anyhow, we just like, okay, great. But, you know, some of those aircraft you won out of. Well, anyhow, jumping has nothing to do with the message tonight, but kind of give you a background of where I come from. I hit my head one too many times, amen. But an increasing thrill over the things of the world, and we need to be alarmed about that. Be careful, amen. That we don't let something of the world draw our heart more than what God's Word does. And I say this every week, and I'm not reminding our people, I'm reminding myself. Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Right? Isn't that what it says? Amen. Now let me ask you this. Man, if we give the world 10% of our heart, I'm just throwing a number out there, that means God gets 90. That's not all your heart. You see what I'm saying? We need to be careful. And I know that there's things that draw my attention, and there's nothing wrong with having hobbies. That's not what I'm saying. I think you understand tonight, God's Word ought to be priority. Amen? God's Word ought to be priority. Paul described it like this, that some there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we won't turn to it. He put it this way, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We ought to be a lover of God more than lovers of pleasures. Amen? But if we're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, we're drifting tonight. We ought to be crying out to God, God, show me. God, help me. Amen? God, help me. Remedies against drifting, and I'm done. And there's probably more than this. But I'm talking about just drifting. Number one, keep roaring. Amen? Just keep going for God. Amen. Because when you stop, that's when you start to drift. You say, oh, but I'm getting tired. Keep going. Amen? Keep going. You know, do it as a team. Say, wife, I'm tired. You row. I'm talking about being on a boat, you know. Do a teamwork. Family ought to be in it together. Amen? Right. I mean, the kids ought not to be kicking and screaming coming to church. I mean, y'all don't want to come to church. You know, I remember when I first got saved, wow, this desire to go to church. All right, let's go to church. And then I tell you, when we first started going to Cornerstone Baptist outside Fort Polk, Louisiana, I tell you what, Brother Turner, our pastor, he was just scripture after scripture after scripture. Remember the first Sunday, and then he said, and in closing, I was like, already? No, don't close. Keep going. And he closed. And Wednesday night, we started growing. Started falling up under conviction about some things in our life and in certain movies we had in our home and music and the list goes on. I was like, wow, we got to get rid of that? Now listen, we didn't get rid of it because the pastor said it was wrong. We got rid of it because it was displeasing to the Lord. Plain and simple. You know, and so just keep roaring. Just keep going. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence. You know, 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Be diligent about it. It also means witness when we ought to. Go to church when we ought to. Pray when we ought to. Do these things. Just keep roaring. Number two, watch out for undercurrents. Got to watch out for undercurrents. I remember one time, Kelsey and I, we used to, anybody trot, you go trot lining, can you trot line in Texas? I mean, in Louisiana, we use trot line all the time. Nebraska, it's against the law. Stupid. I know. Y'all pray for that state. You cannot trot line in the state of Nebraska. I don't know what's up with them, guys, but think about it. There are people in America that did not go to church today because they were fishing. I will say this, shame on them. But did you know that in the state of Texas, you can go to church and fish at the same time? Just set a trot line. Run them hooks in the evening. Run them hooks. You know what I'm saying? So Kelsey and I, she's, Dad, I want to go run them hooks with you. I said, all right, how old were you? I don't know. Little runt. She's a big runt now, but she's a little runt. I don't know, maybe 7, 8, 9. I don't know, somewhere around there. So we got a little John boat. We had a little trolling motor. And we went out there. And while we're going, the fog set in. It got so foggy, we could not tell where we were at. We searched. We went around in circles. And then all of a sudden, the battery started getting dead. And I said, man, we need to head on back. We need to head on back. We just can't find it. But there was, and I didn't explain all this to her, but there was an undercurrent at that time. The water was real high at Vernon Lake, and it was going over the dam. And I tell you, we would have gotten to a place where that undercurrent would have been stronger than our motor, if you will. You understand what I'm saying? And we have got to go. It's getting dangerous. You know, I think we ought to have enough sense in our lives, spiritually speaking, you know, where we identify those undercurrents, like, you know what, we need to get out of here. I don't belong here. We need to go now. The time to go is, well, yeah, but everyone else is doing it, and they're okay. We need to get away from that. We need to have enough discernment in our lives. If God shows us that we need to get out of there, it's dangerous, we need to go. Watch out for those undercurrents. We must always be on guard for the undercurrent of temptation. Amen? Undercurrent of temptation. Temptation? Who are we to say, oh, devil ain't going to tempt me? Temptation is everywhere, isn't it? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. But I like that scripture, don't you? Where God, He provides a way out, doesn't He? You know, there's people who say, well, you know, the temptation was so strong and I just couldn't get away from it. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Folks say, well, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know what I'm being tempted about. It's common. We're all in the same boat. And it says, but God is faithful. Praise God. Aren't you glad that God's faithful? If God weren't faithful tonight, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? But He's faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. I like this last part. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Man, I tell you, when that temptation's there for a child of God, you know, and you're roaring and you're working, you're wanting to please the Lord, and the temptation comes, young people, look around. There is a way to get out of there. There's a door of escape somewhere. Lord, I don't see it. Where's the door of escape? Just pray. That might be a goofy prayer, huh? Lord, show me the door of escape. There it is. And take it. Don't hang out and say, well, you know, things are not really that bad right now. That undercurrent comes and takes you. You start drifting, and boom, you're gone. Don't mess with it, amen? Don't mess with it. Pray. Ask the Lord, Lord, show me. Lord, show me. And He'll show you. Watch out for those undercurrents. Thirdly, expect to go against the tide. Amen? Expect to go against the tide. That's a remedy that not to drift is go against the tide. People say, well, that's the hard way. Well, hey, it takes effort, doesn't it? It takes effort. I tell you, there are many tides out there to sweep us away, especially the young folks. Popularity, peer pressure, the praise of others. Then we have modernism and skepticism and humanism. False doctrines of all kinds permeate in our churches. Liberalism, worldliness in the church. I heard a preacher say it like this years ago. The church is worldly and the world is churchy. And you can't tell the difference any longer. There ought to be a big difference when people walk into the house of God. They ought to know God lives here. They ought to know that we're God-fearing folks. Amen? They're not doing it. We ought not to do the things that the world does. We're not to be those chameleon Christians when we're somewhere around something that's green turned green, it's brown turned brown, and blend in. We ought not to blend in at all. We ought to stand out like a sore thumb, if you ask me. Man, that guy is weird. Yep, you're right. I'm weird. I'm a little bit different. I'm definitely not like I used to be. I'll tell you what, before I got saved, I was crazy. And after I got saved, I'm still a little bit crazy, but I'm just a different person. And I think all of us are, aren't we? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He is, not will become. I believe the moment you get saved, God starts working on the inside. Amen? Amen? God starts working on the inside. You wake up the next day and you're like, wow, I got different desires. Amen? Right. You ought to let God show you, Lord, what would you have me to do today? What can I do today to please you? Amen. Don't get to a place where we start drifting. Amen. Neglect. And all this. I tell you what. I'll close by asking a couple questions and read just a couple of scriptures. But I'll just ask, brothers and sisters in Christ, are we drifting? Are you slipping? Are you letting some things slide? Are you letting some things fall by the wayside? You say, oh, well, you know, I really don't know. And well, we ought to find out. Amen. I need to find out. Amen. All of us need to find out. And ask the Lord, Lord, show me. I want to examine my heart, examine my life tonight. And if I'm letting something slip, let me pick that thing back up and bring it close and drive on for you. Because I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be one of those folks that say, well, I used to do this and I used to do that. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I used to go to church. I used to. Do you really think that pleases the Lord? Absolutely not. Amen. Absolutely not. 2 Samuel, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. But if you want to write it down, 2 Samuel 22:37, the Bible says this, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. You know, that ought to be one of our prayers, Lord. Enlarge the steps under me that I don't slip. Lord, work in my life. Just make it, you know, show me, Lord. And He's the one that directs our steps, right? I've often said when we get ahead of God, we get in trouble. And many of us are so impatient we get ahead of God. But if we're Christ's followers, that means He's in front. Amen? And when He turns, we turn. And if He turns a direction that we don't think is right, who are we to say, Lord, what do you think you're doing? If we're following Him and He turns a certain direction, we need to follow Him. Amen? We need to follow Him. Simple elementary thought. Psalm chapter 17, verse 5. The Bible says, Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. That my footsteps slip not. And then Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 36, the Bible says, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Almost the same as 2 Samuel. And the psalmist said, You know what, Lord? You did that for me, and it was you that kept me from slipping. It was you that kept me from drifting. Many of us, we're going to leave here tonight. We're going to have our challenges this next week. And any one of those challenges can come on us in such a fashion that can cause us to drift. Who are we to say, I'm not going to drift? Any of us can start drifting. But if we're going to stay on course for God and not drift and not compromise and get away from the truth of the Word of God, it's not going to be us. It's not going to be our parents. It's not going to be our church or our pastor. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It has to be Him. He's the one that we find our strength in. Amen? And we need to be at a place where we allow Him to work in us and through us. I don't know. I don't know what we're going through tonight. I don't know what kind of temptations. I don't know what the young people. I don't know what the challenges are today. But I know where I'm at and I know what I'm charged to do out of the Word of God. But I also know how the devil's working to get me to slip up. He wants me to drift. He wants me to take my wife and my family with me. He wants this family and this family. And He wants all of us just to fall by the wayside. I'm telling you, we ought to take a few minutes and just say, Lord, what is it that I've dropped? What have I let fall into the wayside? Lord, show me, make it real to me, make it clear so I can pick it back up, bring it in, hold it tight, and drive on for you. Amen? Amen. That's what we ought to do. So that's what the invitation is all about. And if there's someone here that's lost and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I'll let you know this. You need the Lord. And here's what got me one day. Every last one of us that were lost, we were dangling over hell. I use this illustration all the time. We're dangling over hell. And we might be dangling over hell by 10 strings. And we say, no, not right now, Lord. Maybe next Sunday. It's like if we were to take a pair of scissors, ding, and cut that string. Now we're hanging by 9. No, not right now. Not right now. What if you're hanging by 2 strings tonight? What if you're on your last string and you say, no, not right now? I'm just saying, that's why the Bible says today's the day for salvation. Amen. Don't put it off. If you're not saved, get saved. Amen. Oh, but I've been coming to this church for years. They already think I'm saved. Let them think. I'd hate to go to hell just because of what I'm concerned about, how people think. I tell you what, if you come and get saved, they're going to rejoice with you, aren't they? Get excited. Amen. And if you're saved tonight and the Lord's showing you that in an area that you've let slide, that you've let slip, that you are drifting, man, you don't have to go over into destruction. You don't have to let your family go into the world and all this. Turn around right now. And say, dear God, I see an area in my life that I've let slide and I'm in trouble and I need you. And boom, I tell you what, He can help you out. Amen? If that's your prayer tonight, ask the Lord. He can answer it. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand, bow your head, close your eyes. And Pastor Turner, if you'll come, I'm going to pray and I'll turn it back over to you. Dear God, we thank You. We praise You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. Just a simple message about drifting tonight, Father. It's something that's concerning. It's something that many churches across America, many families, even pastors are drifting, Father, getting away from the Word of God and just falling for all the humanistic philosophies of this world. Father, I pray, Lord God, that You would help each and every one of us here tonight, Lord, just to realize, Lord, that we need to stay on course, that we need to keep roaring for You, keep working. And Lord, not get lazy, not get away from the truths of the Word of God to where we start drifting. And next thing we know, boom, destruction is there. Lord, I pray, Lord, for every family, Lord God, that You would just help us to be the families that we ought to be for God. And Lord, again, if there's one here that's lost, that's never accepted You as a personal Lord and Savior, pray, Lord God, they cry out tonight before it's eternally too late for them. Speak to us all and show us, Lord, where we need correction and, Lord, where we can get things right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Page 223.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Martin. Amen. It's right on target. Right on target, church. I believe it's what we needed to hear tonight. How easy it is to find ourselves. And many times we don't realize it till we've drifted a good ways. And then it's ever so hard. It was so hard to see our way back. Appreciate Brother Martin this evening giving us a good word. You know, he's talking about that mighty man and the arrows. Well, I believe we had a mighty man behind the pulpit tonight and shot the arrow true and straight, right on target. As we sing tonight, might God be pleased to sow these truths to our heart. Lord, anchor us in Christ. Need be at those times when we do feel like drifting, we'd cling to the horns of the altar. Lord, keep us. Keep us ever so close to You. As we sing, might God speak to our hearts.
I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Well, amen. It's been a good day today. Grateful for the Lord's blessing to us all along the way. You're leaving in the morning, Brother Darren and Tina. You better be sweet to Tina tonight. You got a long road back to Nebraska. You might be wishing you was in one of them old helicopters. I remember when I was in the Air Force, they'd have one of them old Chinooks land out on the flight line, and the old mechanics would say, "You stay away from the flight line when one of them are taking off. There's things fall off them all the time." It's probably folks jumping out when they feel them vibrate and shake. Well, it's been good. It's been a real blessing to have just a tremendous day today in Christ, and we're thankful for every good, every perfect gift. They're good and perfect that we receive from the hand of our God. Pray for those earlier. Brother Matt's on the road tonight. How many hours does it take to get back to the house? He's driving a U-Haul with a car on the carrier in the back. So please pray for Brother Matt as he drives good ways, probably most of the night. And then as well, Brother Curtis will be driving to more. Others will be traveling this week. So please be in prayer for each other. Remember Miss Sherry Stowe as well and our church family. It's been good. Brother John, you come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, "Come Thou Fount."
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Sing me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
You're dismissed.